Are we ready to get going this morning? Okay. Without further ado, we're going to... This is going in the right direction. You notice up there, using our gifts to build God's church. I love that. Okay. God's church. Amen. You start with that, you can't go wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Ed, who would you like to pray for you this morning?
Jesse.
Jesse.
Father God, I pray that we just have your anointing over Ed here tonight, this morning, Lord, that we just all gather something from this teaching and just be able to understand what our gifts are and better understand how we can use them for your church, Lord.
Yes.
I pray that you just continue to use each and every one of us today,
yes,
and that we just get ready for just the worship that we're about to go into.
Yes.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All yours, Ed.
All right, thank you. All right, so if you guys were there when I taught last 2-3 weeks ago, we talked about using our gifts to build God's church. So this is the extended version. So part two, I added some slides. So we're gonna start kind of towards the end of the last one if you were there. So that way you won't. Obviously, God's word is never old. So even if you remember it, I'm sure God will work something new for you.
Amen.
Right. First thing is, do you have God's concerns in mind? So as we begin to talk about building God's church, first things first is, are we going to have His concerns? Are we going to start off with that in mind? Or are we going to have our own concerns and, you know, let the cares of the world kind of choke out our life in Christ? You know, and they talk about that, the parable of the sower, and you know, the seed's thrown, and some of that seed falls on rough ground, and some of it, you know, shoots up fast and then dies out when the cares of the world comes. So we always got to remember to keep God, you know, center focus. First things first is God, right? So this was just scripture that, you know, Peter first proclaimed that Jesus was Christ and or Messiah, and then right after that, Jesus rebukes him because Peter didn't want him to have to go and suffer, didn't want him to have to go to the cross, right? And so he ends up getting rebuked right after he gets praised. Which is, you know, a lot of us, right? It's like we can jump in and out of the Spirit really quick as soon as that flesh rises up, right? All right, so we're going to go right into our gifts. There's multiple gifts. You know, when we talk about gifts, it's not just spiritual gifts. And we're going to get into that, but, you know, we'll talk about basically our whole life, everything we do, and everything physical as well as spiritual is a gift. So 1 Corinthians 12, 7-11 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." So God determines who gets what gift, when they get the gift, and how many, because it's multiple gifts, right? It's not just one gift. There's not, you can't just have one. You can have as many as God chooses to give to you. So we don't get to pick it We don't get to do the smorgasbord and choose which ones we like, or you get what you get, and you should be grateful for what you get, right? So if you get the what you would think is the ugly sweater, you know, everyone got one of those ugly sweaters when they were a kid, and your mom made you wear it because you had to go to your grandma's house.
Yeah. You know, every time we look at the gifts, we always look at somebody else's gift and say, man, I wish I had that gift. Yeah. Because theirs seems so easy. I mean, maybe I have a gift of teaching. Man, that's a lot of work. Yeah. Right, Ed? You got to sit down. You got to go through all this stuff. You got to put a teaching together. You got to rehearse it, you know, make sure everything's right. Worry about it. Change it till the last minute. I take a look at the music ministry. The only thing I see them is they walk up on stage and start playing and look good. Yeah. I should. That's the ministry I want. Give me a voice, God. Give me enough rhythm to carry in a bag at least, and I can just walk up on stage and do it. I don't see the work they put in, the years and years of practice, right? The bloody fingers from playing guitars and stuff like that. For the same token, some people don't see. All they walk in here as far as a teaching gift to see Ed standing up there teaching. Man, I could do that. They don't see all of the stuff that behind the scenes that's involved when God gives you a gift. All we see is the good parts. The hard parts we never see.
Yeah.
Not to mention spiritual attacks. Thank you, honey.
Yeah, like what you said, you know, sometimes we desire somebody else's gift. And I remember a guy that had coached with me. And this guy was pretty manipulative. He always wanted to be the head guy. Well, when he finally got it, he got it, all right.
He got it.
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that happened, he ended up resigning halfway through the season because of all the things that were going on. And as Bob said, you know, that you just don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Right,
one of the guys that coaches with me during the season prior to, you know, you got to take care of the scheduling and fundraising and, you know, the scheduling for winter prep, all these different things, uniforms, equipment. And he just looked and he said, man, I can't believe how much work goes on. He had never done it before,
right. But
he was totally amazed, you know. And it looks glorious until you get there and you really realize what is going on, you know. And that's why God brings us around. And when we tell God, hey, use me, be careful, you know.
Right.
Lord, don't give me more than I can chew, right?
Right. Yeah, I always say, you know, that what you see on the outside of a situation is what Pastor Don says, the glory of that, or the perception, or the, you know, when you walk in, like when I'm at work, you know, this is what I do. I walk around with my coffee and walking through the operation, and they're probably, and I know because I was on that side, and I was like, man, I want to do that one day, right? Walk around, have the glory. And then you realize how much work is in it, like Pastor Don said. So, you know, you want to, I always say now to anybody who, and some of you young guys can attest to this, is I always say, be where you're at and make what you have shine, right? If you want something more, do something with what you got.
Yep.
You know? And I'm reminded of Moses standing in front of God, and he says, what's in your hand? Right? He had a staff in his hand. Okay, then there's a staff. You're going to use that. And so what's in your hand? What's in our hand? What's the gift that God gave you? And shine that baby up, because I don't want Fred's gift. I don't want Pastor Don's gift. I don't want any of your guys' gift. I want the gift that God wants me to have, because, right? You guys look good doing it, but I don't want your problems, right? I'm not holding back. I got enough of my own problems. Yeah. So, let's go ahead. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. Sharon?
on what you said, because God gives us the grace, the enabling power and strength through His Holy Spirit,
yes,
that and the wisdom and the discernment and anything, yes, we need to do what He's asked us to do.
Right.
So if you want to use somebody else's gift, yes, just what? Guess what? You don't have what they have,
yes,
what He's giving them,
right,
because He gives each individual what, yes, they need for what He wants them to do.
Right.
That's a very good point. When you have a gift that God gives you, He gives you the authority and the mantle to use that gift. You try to step out in somebody else's gift. I remember we knew this one gentleman that he was an excellent evangelist, right? He would go out to churches and speak on evangelism, teach evangelism, write books on it. Man, he was good. He could get a dog saved. I mean, this guy, you'd go in somewhere, three people are saved before he leaves, right? But all of a sudden, he decided that he wanted the gift of healing. And it's just tore his life up, going in a direction that he was not called to do. You could see when he walked out in evangelism how smooth it was. When he was doing the healing, how forced it was.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the gift, it's not going to work because it's not you.
People recognize real quick if you have the gift or not. You know, just in my years of coaching, the new coach came along, and he didn't know what he was doing. Those kids knew in about 10 minutes. They just started looking at each other like, that's exactly right. I mean, he'd lose them right then and there.
Right.
But then you'd see maybe a young coach come in. He knew what he was talking about. Boom, there was enthusiasm. All right, get over here, do this, move your feet. You know, and it was like, okay, they would respond to it.
Yep.
But, you know, and that's the same in the church, that people stepping outside their gifting, you just look and you scratch your head. You know, if you've been on the mission field, with us, you find out sometimes people step outside their gifting, you know, and I always enjoy it. I probably could write books on that, but yeah, but you see, and then you see the problems that come with it, and then, you know, that's, thank God the pastors there can come and, you know, kind of put some band-aids on it.
Yep. All right. Let's move to the next. Romans 12:6-8 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us, which Sharon gracefully just showed us, right? If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Amen. If it is giving, then give generously. I don't want that gift. If it is to leave. I was messing with you guys. All right.
That means you're going to get it. You know that, don't you?
Brian agrees with me. Look at him back there. Yeah. Do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Again, like I said, that's really what we just talked about, is shining it up. Do it in accordance with your faith, and do it diligently, generously, cheerfully. Right? We shouldn't be holding our head down, walking in, right?
Yes.
Like looking like something the cat just dragged in.
Yep.
We should be, there should be a little bounce in your step, right, Fred?
Yep.
Fred's always got that little bounce in his step.
That's a Southwest Detroit shot.
Yeah.
That's a Western
International. That's right. Stand on the corner of Burner and Junction like that.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
See you this morning. I think I'm back in 1968. No dancing.
Right. Oh, that's a gift. That's a gift.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I was just wanted to say, too, the word also says that He gave us apostles,
mm-hmm,
preachers, evangelists, ministers, you know, all
right,
the perfecting teachers, all for the perfecting of the saints, so that our gifts can be perfected. And when I was growing up, my mom used to always, because I used to always change classes because I was curious. I wanted to know how this sound, how this did, how this whatever, dissect, whatever. But she always used to say, you're going to be good at everything and a master at none. So I'd be like, Mom, okay, like, what's the problem with that? You know what I'm saying? But I get it now, because what I would do, I would start it. And then once the drill was, like, I wanted to play Benny.
Yeah.
I took piano lessons because I wanted to play Benny and the Jets. So once I learned that song, I, you know, Just saying, I switched. Now I'm going to play guitar because Jeremiah was a boy. So anyway, I know I said I have some gifts, okay? I can't be good at everything.
No, one of your gifts is...
You're not
You know, one of your gifts are... You know, what I see is, you know, encouragement and serving. You know, you do that all the time, right? So, you know, your mom might have said you're not a master at any, but what I see is encouragement. I think you're a master at encouragement, right? And serving. So those are actually two of the best gifts, really, right? Yes. Serving, you know, Jesus said, first you have to serve. So the fact that you got that as a gift, and I know, you know, a lot of people in here have that gift as well. And, you know, it's not one of those glorifying gifts, but guess what? When they're not here, everyone hurts, right? The other gift is what we talked about, physical gifts, gifts of, you know, gifts of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, skills, artistic designs, gold work. You know, this guy here, God gave him working in gold, silver, bronze, cut and set stones, work with wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. So our gifts of... our physical gifts as well of cooking, you know, cleaning, making things, designing, you know, some people in here design car parts, things like that.
Absolutely.
Computer work, all the above, right?
What kind of a stupid gift would God give to a person to be able to hit a little round ball with a stick?
Right.
But he gave that to Pastor Don. It seems. Now wait. Let me finish out. Before I get hung here, yeah. But it seems silly. How could God use something like that? But if he wasn't a ball player, how could he be a baseball coach? If he wasn't a baseball coach, how would he have went to Western? How would those girls' lives not have been changed if he hadn't have been there and had the ability to hit a little ball with a stick?
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Golf.
Talking about a real sport.
Yeah, Sandy's the golfer. You know, I was just... Yeah, you don't want to see me golf. Though I did beat Sandy, I still have the dollar that I beat her.
It's framed on the wall.
I was just looking at... You know, we read this, and we don't think much... I mean, okay, this guy had... Imagine if you had those skills today.
Right.
How much money you would make. I mean, if you could set stone and artistic design, and you know, I mean, it's incredible the doors that open. I was just thinking of my sister-in-law. We went to visit them last week, and she had a son that went to this to Annapolis, and she made a little nutcracker with the colors of the school, you know, just to give to them to have there, you know, during Christmas time. Well, all these parents saw this nutcracker, and guess what happened? Oh, we want one of those.
Right.
We want one of those. And something that cost her maybe $20 to make, she's charging $150. And when I went out there, she had boxes of these things. She's getting calls. Now, some lady down in Texas, her son is at Texas A&M, and now wants one with the Texas A&M colors. Oh. And you see how it expands. It's just something very simple. And she was very skilled at doing this type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it just shows you how God will give you things. And if you really do it unto his glory, how it will mushroom and it'll explode. Mm-hmm. And he'll take you to whole different areas and realms and equip you for it. Right. You know. And I'm sure we could go around the room here and share those stories. But it just shows you, be faithful, and God gives you an idea. You never know where it may lead.
Right. All right, so now that we got through the gifts and all that good stuff, right?
You'll be back next week.
What is one of the, I put here, what is one of the biggest things that hinder us from being effective in our gifts? All right, so doubt. I feel. Doubt is one of the biggest things, right? Because if you doubt what God's given you, then you're not going to be too effective.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
All right. I you know, when I have these girls and Miguel, you know, they'll tell me, they go, "Coach, I can't do this." And what happens right then? I give them that look and I say, "Oh, no, no, I didn't mean, you know, coach." Because if they say that, then it's like, line up. We'll teach you what you can do and what you can't do. You know?
Right.
But that's the way it is that we say that to God, "I can't do it." And the attitude is, "Hey, you're going to do it. I'll equip you to do it."
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Moses, "I can't speak.
Right.
I'm not a good speaker." But what happened? He had to go before Pharaoh, and look at what happened. So, yeah, doubt is a big thing because we doubt our abilities, but we should never doubt what God can do.
Right. All right, it's God's who given you the gift, and now you're doubting that you can do it. Of course you can't do it, right?
Yeah.
Can God do it? Yes. Can he use you to do it? Yes. If he chooses that that's your gift, then he's going to use you to do it.
Amen.
Right? Plain and at least that's the way I do it. It's like, okay, stupid, right? Talking to myself, not you guys, of course. But all right, where's Waldo, right?
Whoa. Looked like one of Pastor Don's times.
Is your faith like Waldo, hiding in the busyness of life? You know? So opposite of doubt is faith, right? So we should be walking in faith in our gifts. So don't, you know, this just came to my mind, you know, this was a game that the kids would always play, was Waldo, and give them the book, and they'd sit there for a long time, right? Fortunately, we had girls. I don't know how the boys, the pages probably be all torn out, but the girls, they would sit there meticulously looking through the book to find it.
Yep.
Hopefully, we don't have to go back to the 90s to find our faith. These books were from the 90s, just so you guys, a little sense of humor. Of course, I'm quirky, but so we shouldn't have to go back to the 90s to see where our faith is, right? Our faith should be operating today. It should be actually stronger today than it was in the 90s.
Amen.
Right?
We're still laughing at your
joke. Do you like my joke?
If our faith grows, does that mean our gifts grow as well?
Yes.
They should, right?
Yes.
Right? We should be moving from what? Glory to glory, to glory.
Strength.
Right? If God's with us, then he's with us, and it should grow. Our faith, God, it's not God who's changing, it's us who's changing. Our level of faith should be moving up, and that means that we should be more confident, we should be more diligent, we should be doing all these things, right?
And our gifts grow along with that.
Yeah,
You a better teacher now than the first time you stood up here years ago?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm better than the last time I was up here. I'm just saying, hey, I criticize myself. I know that I'm better because each time I have to take a look at what I did, what I taught, and how can I increase that? How do I, you know, sometimes I'll even listen to the message that I taught, and then I go back through it and I try to find what did I do, you know?
Yeah.
One of the things that I used to always say, right, right, right. I still do, if you notice.
Right.
But I don't say it as much as I used to. Go ahead, Bob. You were going to say something?
Yeah, right.
Oh, Kim?
I just said right. Hold on. You opened the mountain here.
Yesterday, due to my husband's health issues, he can't really climb onto the roof, or shouldn't. He was planning on climbing on the roof, and I said, please don't.
Yes,
but he wanted me to, wanted the awning washed before we had something sealed on it, right? So I took the ladder. I've never climbed on the roof of my house before, right? So not only climbing up on the roof, but if you guys ever had the feeling of standing on an awning, and he's convincing me that it's like three times. And I'm like, okay. So when you first step out, you know, it was very shaky. And then, you know, once I'm like, oh, no, I'm good up here. This is great. I had the hose, scrubbed it off. And
you didn't but, you start know, dancing,
once
you, did you?
Yeah, once you start standing up there, I'm like, take my picture. I'm up on the roof. I start climbing up there. You know? Oh, no. It was awesome. But it's just like just walking out in faith, you know, and really trusting the process, trusting your leaders and saying, listen, this is a good place for you. You can, you'll be safe up there. So, yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's how we start. Like Bob said, we're growing in our faith. We're growing in our gifts. God's going to give you more gifts as you go, as you're faithful, as you're using those to His glory, right? All right, there's Waldo. I put that in and I was like, okay. You know, Lazarus was resurrected. If our faith is like this, hiding in the busyness of our life, let's, you know, that doesn't mean we have to stay there. Let's use that and start off, right? We should start that process. Get out on that awning like him and get on that shaky ground and bring it back, right? God is I am, not I was. How do we overcome our doubt? These were just a couple things that I put out there. Recall the things God has done for you. That's a big thing, right? You got to look back, not look back and not have things to look forward to, but there should be something back yesterday, you know, not a year ago. If it's a year ago, that's okay. Let's start recalling them more often because there's some other things out there that God's done for you. Maybe you just, you know, some things are smaller than other things and they don't stand out in your mind, but God's doing stuff for us every day.
Yes.
Thank Him for the things He has done. I mean, I know as a parent, when your kids are thankful, then you want to do a little bit more for them, right? When they're not thankful, then you still end up doing something for them because you're their father. And you love them, just like God still loves us. He still does for us. But it doesn't make you very happy that your kids aren't thankful. And sometimes they get discipline and they still get stuff. But they get the discipline to teach them how to be thankful. Ask Him to move on your behalf. Right? So when we get in a situation, which we're all in all the time, are we asking God to move on our behalf? And then the last one goes with that is expect Him to do so. Right? We got to come to Him expectingly. Not, well, man, I hope this is going to work.
Right.
You know? God, I found in my life, if I expect God to move, He does, right? If I don't and I come kind of wavering, then it doesn't happen. It's like I come to Him expecting. I expected Him, and I'll share a quick story, but I expected God. Me and my wife sat down and we said, we want to be here in a couple of years or wherever we want to be. Right, we laid out kind of some financial goals and some things, and I said, we're going to get there. And bank account goes down and up and down and up. Each time it went up a little, down, but it increased. You know, it's like a stock market kind of thing, you know. But we got to our goals, and it was something that we prayed for, talked about, put a plan together, and I expected that God was going to move on my behalf because some of it was faith of we need to get to this point. I don't see how it's even possible, but I know it's possible. We're going to do it. And actually, it happened faster than expected, but walking in faith, you know. Esther has something, Bob.
I'm sorry, Esther.
That made me remember a couple of large, I'm going to say, financial things that we had in our life that, in you know, without explaining how it happened, that were on us. They were to me, they were oppressing. They were very oppressing. But like Ed Trow would prophesy over us certain things, and then Pastor Don would preach to us and tell us about what, like, to expect goodness from God. And mm-hmm. Even though you think that you can't have a certain thing, you and yeah, it is doubt. I doubt it. I did doubt God. I did. I would talk to God about those two oppressing things, and I would say, you know, didn't you say you were going to fix this or help us fix it, or you know, some of that stuff is like $100,000. And in all honesty, he did fix it. A miracle is happening. A miracle mm-hmm. is happening with the house that he's given us, because in all honesty, we never thought that we would have a house like that. We never thought, we never desired, you know, for that either, you know. And I thank God for that, because it's humbling, you know. And I love to serve, and I love to give, and it just blesses me that I, you know, not to hoard his blessing, because when you hoard it, you know, God can't bless it. But when you, like, release it, you know, that's how he's allowed that blessing to come back. It wasn't, he didn't give me $100,000 for the debt that happened, but he did bless me in another way, because he showed Fred and I to always give, you know. So that's a big faith builder that I need to constantly say to myself to overcome the doubt.
Yeah, that's right. Go ahead. I was just going to say real fast, you made an excellent point there. If God has given you a gift and you don't use it, he'll take it back.
Yes, he will.
Because you're telling him you don't want it.
Exactly.
Yeah, along those lines, as you were speaking, I was thinking of the lepers that went over to the enemy camp in the Old Testament. And God had caused the enemy to leave in a hurry, and they left everything there. And these lepers went from being starving to death to being blessed beyond their wildest man. And so they're hoarding all this stuff, and they looked at each other and they said, you know what? What we're doing is wrong. This is a day of rejoicing. And they went back to the city and they told everybody, and everybody went out and participated. And so you were saying, you know, that God gives you a blessing that's to be shared with other people so that he can be glorified even greater. Because, yeah, four of those lepers, or five, how many ever there were, they could have rejoiced, hey, you know, but they knew that disaster would come upon them if they weren't going to share that.
Right.
And when they did, God, like I said, God received so much more glory, because everybody was starving. And had they never gone back in that city, well, they never were to get praise to God for what, the, you know, to meet their needs. So.
Well, you got everybody excited today.
Yeah.
I just want to co-sign with Queen over there, because I'd limit God too, because we serve a big God. But a lot of it was I didn't feel worthy, and I wasn't ready.
Yes.
Mm. I say I wanted it. But I was like, I really want a car. But I was like, ooh, I don't want the responsibility. I got to pay for tags. I got to pay for insurance. I got to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And God is sitting there saying, see, and you wonder why you're going through what you're going through, because you've been limiting me. You know what I'm saying? Then then you got those other outside forces. I ain't going to, you know. Saying, you know, you getting old, they're going to carjack you. The fear of, you know, what caused and doubt. Like you said, so, and then us limiting him. Because he's waiting, the word says, that he wants to give us, you know, exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that we ask or think. So here I am asking for a little thing, but he won't be going to do a big thing. So I want to say that too, because we do limit God in us. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Limits
on. Yes. Yep. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, that's something one of the things I've learned, or learning, I should say, always learning, is that, you know, I look at, you know, God gives us these examples to learn from. And, you know, we look at Peter and, you know, one minute he's getting rebuked, he's getting praised, then he's getting rebuked.
Yep.
Then he walks on water, and then he's denying Christ, and then he's restored. And what that should show us is, you know, despite our failures and our things that we go through and our times of, you know, of losing our faith, of not losing our faith, but losing the losing that faith of believing what's happening, right? God still does. It's still God doing it, you know?
He is.
It's, you know, we think because we messed up that God can't use us.
Right.
It's like, we're messed up already.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And that's what I've been learning over, right, especially last year, is I'm already messed up. He can use me. He's,
yep,
already been using me.
Yep. Amen.
So I might not see I'm messed up, but he knows I'm already messed up.
Yeah.
Right? So I figure if he wants to use a donkey, then, right, here I am. Ask for wisdom. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously, yes, to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Right? This is talking about wisdom here. So I know this scripture can sometimes be taken out of context, but it says, if you lack wisdom, you should ask God. He's not saying anything you want. He's saying if you ask for wisdom, right? Wisdom is what, I mean, how many of you want to be like Solomon, right? You want to be able to have that wisdom to, yeah, judge.
Didn't he have 300 wives?
Yeah, and I'm not talking about that part. He wasn't.
Entire downfall of the Israelites.
I'm going to show you wisdom right here. Is that a good thing, Jess? Have 300 wives?
Oh, okay. Wise man right there. His wife is equal to 300, though. She's so wonderful.
She's so wonderful. He's read the Bible that says a man even looks like he has wisdom when he's silent. Right? Jesse's like, ask for help with our unbelief.
Yes, Lord.
Right? We all doubt. We need help. And this guy was smart enough to ask Jesus for help. Right? It says, this was about a situation where his son was possessed, and he came asking for Jesus to help, to heal him. And he says, if you can, and Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for one who believes. Right? It's not if Jesus can. I mean, I could just see Jesus, if I can. What are you talking about? Right?
It's funny you used that verse. I used that this morning when up in the prayer room, God gave me that, and I kind of prayed and used that exact same verse. What a coincidence.
And then, like I said, the guy was smart enough to humble himself in front of Jesus, right? Immediately, he's like, oh, man. I messed up immediately.
Right.
I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Another situation, again. Let's see, which one did I put here? Oh, this was... this was where Jairus came and came to Jesus. His daughter was ill, and in the middle of him, Jesus going with them, they came and said, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And Jesus overheard that. And he says, don't be afraid, just believe. Right? So in the middle of your, God gave you an answer. He's coming with you. And it all falls apart. You're like, oh. And he's saying, don't be afraid. He came with you. He heard you. He started walking with you. And this disaster overcame you, or at least in this case, you know, with his daughter dying. But in our case, it might be something else, right? I think of, you know, just because I know Esther's sitting there, but I think of the house situation, and, you know, you don't know what God's doing. I don't know what ended up happening with that yet, but you don't know. Don't be afraid. God started you on the journey. Don't be afraid if everything else comes against you and everything looks like it's lost. He says, don't be afraid, just believe, right? I like this one too, because we got to go before God. I always think sometimes, and I know I do this as a parent, sometimes I'm looking to see what's their response. What's the response going to be? And that's what I thought when I read this scripture about the Canaanite woman. And it says, a Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him, urging him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. So obviously this wasn't just, you know, one time. This lady's not going away. She's following. She's going to chase Jesus down. Right? And it says, he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Jesus, dog wasn't a good thing back then. I know my daughter over here loves dogs, but Jesus wasn't talking about those. He's talking about the ones we saw down in Mexico. Everyone's like, get out of here, right? So, was Jesus waiting to see her response? That's what I'm saying. And sometimes we're expecting God to do something for us, but is he waiting to see how we're going to respond? And this woman says, she responded, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. That was some wisdom, right? This woman, she wasn't going away. She wasn't taking no for an answer. And then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. And I'll end with this last one. I like this one too. The centurion. Who also asked Jesus to come, or actually came to him, and Jesus basically says, I'll go with you. And he says, yeah, you don't have to go. Just say the word, right? He says, I'm a man under authority. I tell this one go, he goes. This one come, he comes. Just say it. And again, it was, you know, Jesus said he hasn't found anyone in all of Israel that had such great faith. So we need to, you know, aspire to be like these people who have great faith, even in the midst of their circumstances, right? Yep. That they believe Jesus. This guy took him at his word. So you just say it and it's going to happen. Yeah. And you know, I know God's like that. And I know that we waver. We're like Peter, where we walk down water one moment, and the next moment we're wavering. But we should, you know, all, you know, aspire to go back and recount things and remember all the things that God has done for us, so that we can. Why don't we prep ourselves? I don't know how many of you have ever been to a meeting, or, you know, even the teaching. You got to prep yourself, right? Yeah. It's like, let's recount these things before I'm going to go before Jesus. Let me strengthen my faith. Let me go back to all the things that he's done, so that when I present something that I'm already the Spirit's already dwelt. It's already stirred up. My faith is stirred up, and I'm ready to go before the throne of grace and ask and expect that God's going to move on my behalf. Amen.
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 All right. Thank you.
Ed, who would you like to close?
You, sir.
I like that. Take authority there. I believe you should close. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your word, Father God. But Lord, we thank you too for the people that you choose to deliver that word, Father God. Father, I pray this morning just for a double blessing on Ed and his life, Father God. I just pray for some of the things that they're praying for, but I pray for expediency, Father God. Father God, I just see a rush, a movement, Father God, in his life in a great way. Father, just continue to work in that family. Continue to work in every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.